calm down. The group's well tonight. Oh yeah. And can I suggest we be generous, please? If you can give more than a dollar, that would be greatly appreciated. Before we begin, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're on the second step proposition exercise. We're going to finish it tonight. We spent 2 weeks on it. The latest podcasts are up on the site. I've done this several times before. Mark reminded me that I did this the first time in 2010, and he was in Kuwait. And Mike sent him the handout, and they did the cards together. So we've been doing it quite some time. We'll be finishing our 11th year a week from the last Saturday of the month will mark the 11 years. And I figured I've done 1,400 meetings or more. So tonight we're finishing the second step proposition exercise, which has really changed my life. I'd like to go to page, the back of the second page. And it says, if our choice in the second step proposition, everybody see where I'm reading? I don't know, it's not indented. Okay. Middle of the page. If our choice in the second step proposition is God is everything, remember the second step, they call it the second step question because it's in the chapter on the second step when we agnostics on page 53. It says, when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade, we fearlessly face the question that God is everything or nothing. What is your choice to be? All right, for all those, we're right here on the middle of this page. And this is where we're going to read.
The older copies are in a different font.
Oh, I don't know. All right, well, get a newer copy. Here are plenty of them. All right. Now, what was the greatest commandment in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and your might. Now that's 100% command, right? So that means you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and might all the time. And that's choosing God as everything all the time. But we don't do that, do we? We choose ourselves sometimes. And then we become our higher power. And we're going to look at this as an exercise in recognizing when you're choosing to run your life and how to resolve that so you don't stay disturbed. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
It says, so we have to give God everything. We can't just give him drinking. We have to give him 100% of our life. Now, how do you know when you're giving God 100% of your life? You feel okay. And when you're giving him 98%, You'll have the 2% can cause you a lot of grief, right, Paula? And it says we have to give God complete control of our entire life, conceding to our innermost selves. Now, we offer ourselves to God in step 3, right? And we say that, I say that every morning, every evening. I give him me, all of me, to do with me and build with me as thou wilt. Now, saying the prayer won't mean that you do that, because you can finish the prayer and start thinking about yourself. Anybody else ever do that? And something that you're stewing about. So it says this means God is running the show, the whole show. I don't get a vote. So what that means is that when things happen, I don't get a vote on whether I like it or not. They happen. And then I have to use God to figure out how I react to that in a fit spiritual way. So this guy says, your life is none of your damn business. And Chuck C. says, it's my business to do God's business. It's God's business to take care of me. And isn't that what we say in the third step when we say that we have a contract with God that if we stay close to him and perform his work well, he'll give me everything I need. Anybody believe that? So why do we still Why do we still take it back? Because that's the way we're made. But we don't have to stay separated from God, do we? No. So it says, what I want does not matter. Is that clear? Anybody not understand what that means? What I want does not matter. It means it's what God wants that matters. So I have to remember that. What I want does not matter. Because when what I want matters, what happens? You have an expectation. And then you get a resentment. And then you get afraid, right? It's automatic. So if you have something that matters to you, you've placed that as important above God. And it's what God wants for me and to do it. So now it says, what do you have to do? Well, that's what the exercise is all about. He talks about his prayer and meditation, and he talks about his set-aside prayer here, which I read last week. But he talked about in that prayer, it says, my own prejudice is one of the greatest roadblocks to true progress. Does anybody agree with that? It's true. There are people in the room who can tell you, they came here for a while and they didn't want to work the steps. Then they finally worked the steps, their lives get better. And then they wondered why they didn't work the steps sooner. You know, people never studied the big book. And then they studied the big book, and then their lives got better. And then they said, well, why didn't I do that? There's so many things in my life that I said, why didn't I do that sooner? And so we want to get rid of our prejudice. So they talk at the beginning, at the end, they begin the this exercise. All you need is paper and a pen, and you draw a line down the middle of the paper. And you have two columns. And it says, what areas of my life have I not given or I'm not willing to give to God? So that's what column one is. You fill out what areas. And he talks about the tornado exercise that's in the big book on page 82. It says, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring his way through the lives of others. Anybody relate to that? I can't tell you how many times people come in, they're 30 days sober, they don't understand why everybody doesn't love them, why everybody hasn't forgiven them, right? Why people are still upset with them, right? They just can't see it. They can't see the wreckage that they caused. So there are two ways. For the first column of the areas affected, you do relationships, people, and then you do areas of your life. And that's why I mentioned last week, and Jimmy was asking about it, fear follows resentment. In the inventory in the big book, you do resentments first and then fear. And when you have your resentments against people, there's usually fear involved causing that resentment. And you don't want to have unresolved anger towards people anymore, because then that will block you from them, right? So now he's saying you've done your four step. You're still looking at those areas of your life where you're trying to control, where you're managing, you're playing God. So you look at all your relationships and see the people and see who's still bothering you, who you're still trying to control, who you have conflicts with. And if you look at your resentment list, you'll see that you may have forgiven them or you may have seen your role, but you're still trying to control them. Anybody married? There's the name that goes at the top of the list, because no matter how much you try not to control your spouse and the way they react, it's something we all do. But I understand that now that it's futile and that they are who they are, and God bless them, and so it's helped. But you have to put the people. It says, who does the hair on the back of my neck stand up, or am I at peace? If anybody working, if you work, there's usually somebody at work that drives you crazy, maybe more than one. And when you think about them, they bother you. So you want to put them on the list. There may be relatives. Anybody have any relatives? There may be exes. Anybody have exes? These people bother you. You may not hate them anymore, but they still bother you. And you wish you could control how they react to you, right? So they are a burden to me. So those you do people. And then you go to what areas of my life, and this was really helpful, because until I read this, I had no idea about this. What areas of my life have I been generally unhappy, frustrated, angry, or upset about lately? Now remember in fear, in the big book, it says, when we looked at fear, wasn't it because self-reliance failed me? Now, what did that mean? When I was relying on self in any area of my life, I had fear. And so I know when I have fear today, I'm managing whatever it is I'm afraid of. And so I use this exercise, but it's become automatic to me now. But I did make this card years ago, and it's been very helpful to me. So what areas of your life are you unhappy, frustrated, angry, or upset about lately? And they're going to change. You may have something this week, and next week it's something different. What have you been complaining about? Any complainers in here? What areas are you having drama? And what areas have you not been getting your way? So he gives examples of job, finances, investments, relationships, spirituality, physical condition, but there can be a lot of things. You can put your AA life. You can put any area of your life that you're trying to manage and that you're disturbed about, or there's drama in your head. It could be the government. It could be our president. It could be anything. It's endless what we can get disturbed about. Now, the second column is, why am I afraid to give this area to God? Why am I afraid to do that? If I'm worried about money, why don't I give money to God? Well, I'm afraid that He won't give me enough. I won't get what I want, you see? But then I have fear because I've decided how much money I need, right? An example is, some people like to follow the stock market. I don't look anymore because it really doesn't matter. It goes up and down. But it used to bother me. It would go down a lot. So I'd be sitting in my chair at home, and it went down, and I'd be upset. And then I realized, well, if I hadn't looked, I wouldn't have known, and I would have been fired. So I said, well, you know, I'm going to give that to God. And when I did that years ago, I don't worry about it anymore. I'm only going to run out of time. I'm never going to run out of money. And so it's just an example of how you can see marriage and relationships, not getting what I want, out of control, unloved, intimacy. Why am I afraid to give the relationship to God? You see, why am I afraid to give finances, hobby, your sex life, your spiritual life? There's all sorts of things. You can make a list. But the idea is, if you have any fear in your life, it's because you're afraid of giving that area to God. So if you go home and you're worried about something, if you're worried about tomorrow at work, why are you worrying about tomorrow at work now? Give that to God. All right, so that's the second column. Now, here's where you learn something. The fear instruction, the big book, and I've gone through 67, 68, and it's on the podcast, and I've gone through it several times. We have a prayer. This is the fear prayer. I ask God to remove my fear. Anybody think that's a good idea? All right, but then they forget the second part. God, direct my attention, my thinking, to what you would have me be. That's the key. Now, I was in AA for years, and I never read the book, and I didn't know about that. I had a lot of fear. What does God want me to be? And remove the fear and be. And it doesn't say do. It says be. It says most people miss the second half of the fear instructions. We may have asked God to remove the fear, but we don't have a vision where we need to go with God. See, remember, I must carry a vision of God's will in all my activities, right? His will, not mine, be done. If I have a vision of what God wants me to be, then I don't have to be afraid anymore. I just be that. I just be what God wants, and it'll be okay. Now, the difference between being and doing is, if you be a certain way, you're going to do a certain way. If you be loving, you're going to get love back. You're going to act loving. If you're hateful, you're going to be hateful. You're going to get hate back. How you be determines what you do, and that's why the St. Francis prayer is so powerful. It's on the back of the card. Because the St. Francis prayer is all about being a channel of God's peace and how we be. Do we bring harmony, love, truth? Do we bring understanding and comforting? Do we forget ourselves? The prayer is just so powerful. And he talks about being and doing. Before you go on a trip, you have to know where you're starting. You have to know where you want to go, what God wants me to be, and then you figure out how to be that way. Now, the thing I use all the time with my sponsees was LPTKCC, love, patience, tolerance, kindness, consider, compassion. That's what I want to be all the time. If I be that, my day will be fine. Because if you be that way, you don't really have to have any fear. And it says you have to know with your ego, you have to know where your ego is deluding you. Now, your ego is deluding you whenever you have a fear, because your ego is telling you to worry about something. God didn't say, Michael, worry about work tomorrow. Did he? No? No. I decide that. My ego is telling me to worry about something because my ego doesn't want me to be okay, because if I'm okay, I'm with God. My ego wants me to be separated from God. And then we have to realize where we should be going, what God wants us to be, and then we come up with a plan of how to get there. So I keep my prayers very simple. My vision of God's will is the St. Francis Prayer and LPTKCC. And be kind and loving to all. And as I wish others to do to me, I want to do to them. And I want to love God with all my heart and soul and mind. I just keep it real simple. Because if I do that way, then my days are good. Remember the 10th step he talks about. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will in all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, God's vision for me is not to be afraid all day. And God's vision for me is not to get angry or disturbed. God's vision for me is to be loving and tolerant all the time. It says that in the book, doesn't it? Now, I heard something really brilliant. It's not for me. Love and tolerance. You love those who are lovable. And you tolerate the people you can't manage to love. Now, think about that. It's true. You just tolerate them. You may not be able to love them, but you tolerate them because you want to be considerate. I hope you two guys at the end of the table can control yourselves. All right. They're carrying on today. So how can I best serve thee? And once we have a vision of God wants us to be, then we write the fear. Now, he puts these areas, you can look at it, but what God wants me to be, and I just circled the different things, grateful. How can you be afraid or worried about something when you're an alcoholic who should be dead or a drug addict and you're sober? You're sober, your life's okay, you're not drunk, you're not using, you're not in total desperate pain. How can you not be grateful to God? And so that helps me because I go to page 100 all the time and it says, when I look back, the things that happened when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. So even if you're 60 days, look back to 60 days ago. And how could you not be grateful? Faithful. Now remember, we have faith and trust in God, and trust in God is how we remove fear. Remember, it says we live on a different basis, relying upon God, trusting God. Now, how can you not trust God if he's got you sober? If God's got you sober and clean, how can you not trust him with your whole life? Trusting, humble, understanding of myself, I'm nothing. I need God in everything. I don't have the power. God has the power. Confidence in God, courage, tolerant, loving, intimate, strong, good steward, and chaste. And then he repeats them. So you can make a prayer out of that every morning. Help me be grateful, faithful, trusting, humble, confident, courageous, tolerant, loving, intimate, strong, good steward, and chaste. It's not complicated. And you can take the card. I used to just pray on the card, left and right-hand side. I'd look at the left-hand side. I'd say, God, I don't want to be that today. I want to be the right-hand side. Help me be that. And we talk about doing 6 and 7 the rest of our lives. Well, if I'm disturbed today, I'm on the left-hand side. So I say, God wants me to be loving instead of intolerant. So God, help me be loving. Take away my intolerance. God, I'm impatient. I don't want to be impatient. God, give me patience, right? And it's not complicated. And once you ask God to remove it and you're sincere and humble, it happens, right? And we'll talk about that. We're almost done. And it says, so what do you do with the card? Well, you carry it around. You make this card. And I know there are people in the room who have done it. You continue to watch on page 84. We watch for what? Selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. We watch all day long with God. So we carry this card, and when we're disturbed, we pull the card out. I'm worried about money. Well, why am I worried about money? What does God want me to be? And then you have it written out. You just say, God, remove my fear, and how do I want to be right now? Because if you be how God wants you to be, you won't be afraid anymore, because you've given God everything. So it's an exercise, and the more you do it, the quicker it is, so that you don't have to waste time. I just do it automatically. I was worried about something. It's ridiculous. God, help me be in the now with you. I trust you. Help me be loving, patient, kind, tolerant right now. Doesn't take a lot of time. Because here's the thing, and I think Paul mentioned it, we don't like to be disturbed anymore. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be fearful or angry. And so I try to get undisturbed as quickly as possible by seeking God. So it says, for example, let's say you didn't get a promotion at work. You're upset about it. How could they not give that to you? So you take the damn card out. I didn't get the promotion at work. Why do I have fear about that? I won't have enough money, or blah, blah, blah. And then how do you want to be? And so which area of your life are you having trouble with? And remember, at work, you work for God. Remember that? God's our employer. We work for him, and we want to do his work well. So at work, I just want to be the best employee I can be, whether I got the promotion or not. And I want to be kind and loving and tolerant at work, no matter what they're doing. What they're doing doesn't matter. Which fears has your ego's triggered? So you look at the areas in your life, the fears that the ego triggered, and then he talks about a prayer. So here he has a prayer. He says, Father, I'm in trouble here in this state. I can't be of help to you. You cannot be helpful to God or others if you're afraid. If you're afraid, you're separated from God. There's no hope. And if you're afraid for very long, then you're angry about everything. Father, please remove my anger and fear of not getting what I want. And all really has to do if you're not getting what you want. They're not behaving the way they want. You're not getting the things you want. You've decided what you need to have. As soon as you do that, you're in trouble. So remember, expectations are the beginning of a resentment, right? So if you have any expectations for what you want, then you're setting yourself up for a resentment. It doesn't mean you can't set a goal and work towards it, but you do the work towards it and leave the result to God. And make sure that your motives are good when you do that too, that they're God-centered. Then you pray for a vision of God's will for you, which you've already. And then here's two prayers that I really like. And if you're new, you might want to just copy this, write them out, and say them every morning. God, please help me, Lord. Please remove my anger and fear. Replace them for gratitude for what I do have. If you have gratitude, you cannot be separated from God. If you're truly grateful for your situation, you'll be connected to God. It's impossible to have gratitude and be resentful or fearful. And then we talk about attitude of gratitude. It's kind of become a trivial saying, but it's really true. And what are we grateful for? The blessings God's given us, God's grace, what he's done for us. Patience in knowing you have a plan for my life. Faithfulness in the fact that you love me and want the best for me. A lot of times I have fear. I didn't realize it my whole life because at the bottom of it, I didn't know whether God really loved me, whether I was worthy of God's love. So I wanted approval from everybody because I wasn't sure I got approval from God. I didn't realize that until I listened to the speaker. And I'll bring that handout in next week where she goes through all these fears. And in the end, it's I didn't fear that I wasn't good enough for God. And once I realize I'm good enough for God, then I don't have to worry about what other people think of me. And that was a great freedom. I'm still a people pleaser. I hope everybody loves me tonight. But if you don't tell me. Yeah, keep it to yourself. All right, spare me. Trust in you that you will provide what I need to you if I keep close to you and perform your works well. Remember, that's a contract. I have all my spots. He's right. Third step contract. I work for you, God. I do your work, and I stay close to you, and you're going to give me everything I need. And remember, we give God worry. God's job is to worry, not me. My job is to work for him and do his work. Now, how do I stay close to him and do his works well? Well, this exercise is an example of that, saying the prayer, visualizing how you should be, and then be that way. Then here's another prayer. God, please help me remove my anger and fear, replace them with gratitude, patience, and knowing faithfulness of faith. I trust that you help me to be honest with my family or others and to let them know what has happened. If something happens in my life, we help each other through this crisis, or let you talk to your sponsor. And here's the one. Father, help me be a good steward of the gifts you've already given me. Am I being a good steward for God? Because really, our only job each day is to serve God and others. And are we being a good steward? Then here's he has the patient, honest, trusting, loving, grateful, and faithful steward for God. So that could replace the LPTKCC. Honest, loving, grateful, and faithful steward for God right now. Am I being that? And now I get to work to turn my attention to make this come to pass. So this is how I want to be, so I want to do it. And that's how you get back on the beat. I don't know about you, but this is great stuff. And you might want to study it. I've got some extra copies here. I've covered it several times on the podcast. And you might want to go over it with someone in the program and write out your fears and look at them. It'll change your life. Guaranteed. So we'll open up now. We got time to discuss this. Thank you.